I was originally, if you look at the bulletin, it says that the message is based on Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 20 something. 20, I think.
20, yeah.
But because I'm always telling you that we need to take things in context, I'm going to back it up a little bit and go a couple of verses after that. So it's a little bit longer. I'm going to actually start with the 12th verse, and I will end with the 22nd verse. And for those of you who have signed covenants with the church, you will notice that part of this reading is very familiar. Look at it this way. If someone has 100 sheep and one of them wanders off, don't they leave the 99 and go after the one? And if they find it, don't they make far more over it, over the 99 who stayed put? Your Creator in heaven feels the same way. God doesn't want to lose even one. Want to hear that again? God does not want to lose even one. Remember that the next time somebody tells you that you're going to hell. If a fellow believer hurts you, go and tell them. Work it out between the two of you. If they listen, you've made a friend. If they won't listen, take one or two others along so that the presence of a witness will keep things honest, and try again. If they still won't listen, tell the church. If they won't listen to the church, you'll have to start over from scratch. Notice what Jesus just said. Even then, you start over from scratch. You don't get to walk away. Confront them with the need for repentance and offer again God's forgiving love. Take this most seriously. A yes on earth is a yes in heaven. No on earth is a no in heaven. What you say to one another is eternal. I mean this. When two of you get together on anything at all on earth and make a prayer of it, my God in heaven goes into action. And where two or three of you are together because of me, you can be sure I will be there. At this point, Peter got up the nerve to say, well, Master, how many times should I forgive a brother or sister who hurts me? Seven? And Jesus replied, seven, hardly. 70 times 7. The kingdom of God, 70 times seven. We'll stop there. Huh?
490.
Yeah, for those of you who want to do the math, that's 490 times. Get your checklist out and write down the names of those people that you think figure you got to forgive. And you're going to find out that you're taking on a rather arduous task. Amen? 490 times is a lot. And it's for a lot of stupid stuff most of the time. Amen? Reverend Jeremiah Wright, I love his phrase when it comes to this kind of stuff. He refers to it as getting stuck on stupid. Amen? That's great. All right, let me set the scene for you. The reason that I said some of this was going to sound familiar if you have signed a covenant with the church is because this is part of our covenant. This is our agreement with each other on how we will handle disputes when there's a problem. And I know that for some of you who maybe are hearing this for the first time or you're revisiting it again and going, you know, this is one of those passages that we hear in church all the time that is just loaded with buts. Amen? This is one of those things where you say, well, that's nice that Jesus is talking about that because it ain't real in the real world. Because number one, there are people that offend me every moment of every day. Hallelujah. If you've driven on the expressways in this city, you know that you've been offended. Somebody has cut you off. And you are certainly not going to look them up and tell them what an idiot they were. Amen? I am sure that most of you in your jobs at some point, your boss has been incredibly offensive to you. If you don't move, they won't know I'm talking about you. Anyway, but you can't confront your boss, can you? So I'm telling you, this is one of those passages that we hear about on Sunday mornings, and we leave church, and we go, gee, that was nice. And what we hide behind is that the pastor, you know, as they walk by the pastor, hey, pastor, good sermon. Hey, pastor, good sermon. Hey, you went a little long today, pastor. You know, all that kind of stuff. And we will never think about this passage again. Except today it's going to be different. Because I'm going to put it right square in front of you. Because you want to know with this passage what the real issue is? Remember how it started. That's why I wanted to give it to you in context. Jesus was talking about the importance of everybody being able to be in relationship with God. Everybody. That means no one gets separated out. That everybody has to be a part of God's family. That's what God desires. Jesus said very, very clearly that God does not want to lose one. Now, I want you to think about that this morning. Have you ever been in a church or heard these evangelists who sit there and say, oh, by the way, here's the list of things that you have to do in order to please God. And if you do this, God ain't going to like you. And oh, by the way, if you do this, you're going to hell. And here's Jesus clearly saying, no. That is not the theology that we ought to be living by. The theology that we ought to be living by is if you get lost, God is going to come find you. That if one of our own are in trouble, we need to go find them. We need to reach out. It does not matter what the problem is. Now, I know that's kind of hard to wrap your head around, right? But I got to tell you this morning, that one of the first things I did after that accident on Saturday and figured out that it would have been very easy for me not to be here this morning was to not hold any animosity against the person that hit me. Everybody does what they do for a reason. And I can tell you right now that I know that that person that hit me, as far as the law is concerned, they're going to have lots more problems than I'm ever going to have. Amen? You know that, like in the state of Florida, if you get convicted of drunk driving, they make you put on your plate, I'm a drunk driver. Whoa. Yeah, what kind of setup is that? Does that match up to this scripture? If one gets lost, God goes, looks for him. How is it that you're helping a person by pointing out their mistake for everybody to see? So that is a perfect setup for what comes next. When Jesus says, look, here is how you handle this. If somebody hurts you, if somebody offends you, go talk to them. Now here's the problem. Most of us don't do that. And why don't we do that?
Pride.
Pride? Why else?
It's so easy to judge them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. It's easier to judge. They're an idiot. They're a jerk. You know? I remember listening to a pastor one time talk in a sermon, talking about the person that you cut you off in traffic because they're on the cell phone. What you didn't know is it was a mother of three being told that her child had just taken a 20-foot fall. Or that person that's standing in front of you in line and just taking forever to find their EBT card. The reason they're having a hard time, you later on find out that they're having a hard time finding that EBT card is because they can't read. Remember, folks, the start of this story and what this is all about is nobody does anything to anybody because they are pure jerks. Everybody does what they do for a reason. Something is driving the car. And so Jesus says the best way to handle this is if you're offended, because 9 times out of 10, the person who committed the offense, they don't even know. Amen? You know that.
They know not what they do.
Listen, I can tell you, when I first started in MCC, and you know the whole women's movement, you know, I did not know how much of a sexist I was until I met my first lesbian. And then she proceeded to tell me what was wrong with my language, what was wrong with my attitude. I mean, the list was very long.
It wasn't me either.
No, thank God. And at the time that that was going on, I thought, my God, how militant is that? But then as I got into it, all she was doing was telling me how I made her uncomfortable. You hear me? I had no idea that I was making her uncomfortable and feel not like she mattered. And so once I was confronted with that, I was able to do something about it. So what Jesus is telling us is, if you're offended by somebody or something's not right, it is up to you to take the initiative to get it corrected. Isn't that weird? Isn't that weird? I mean, because we live in a world where that's just completely the opposite, isn't it, of what we've been taught? If somebody offends you, the protocol police catch them, or the real police catch them, or some lawyer drags you into court, and you're forced to admit your wrongdoing, and then you're exacted punishment. Jesus is saying, look, no. If you're going to be in relationship with somebody and that relationship matters, and if you understand that God wants everybody, then it is your responsibility, if you've been offended somehow, to go talk about it. Wow. Now, you see, that's why I told you, you're not going to just be able to walk away from church today and say, okay, that was a nice sermon. Because now you know that if you get offended, if you get hurt, it is your responsibility to take the first step of reconciliation. Wow. Okay, Pastor, this is not easy stuff. You can stop now. But see, he takes it to the second piece because he says, what does he tell us to do? And we live in the Facebook age, amen, and Twitter age. He says, go in private. Don't put it on Facebook. Don't be talking to 17 different people before you go to that person. Go to that person and have a conversation. Now, there are two things that you need to think about at this point. You've already probably figured out that you're not going to want to do this every time some little offense comes along. Amen? You have got to decide whether you're really offended or not. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Mm-hmm. You know, I know how this goes at church. You know, when we started using inclusive language, there are those people that get really upset if we refer to God as what? Father. And I call them the grammar police. They will come up to me after church and go, hey, Pastor, it's God the Creator. It's God, you know, because you got people out there that can't relate to God as Father. I will look at them at that point and go, you know what, you're right, and I will try to do better in the future. That's okay to have that pointed out to you, but is that something that you want to get into a debate about? In other words, you got to decide whether this is what hill you want to die on. Mm-hmm. You know, when my partner and I got together, I think I've told this story before, so I'm not telling anything out of school, but when we got together, he was raised in a family with 12 kids. 12. So when you walked into his house, it was a war zone. Chaos. Amen? Chaos reigned supreme. I was raised, on the other hand, with one sister and a mother who could spot a micrometer of dust at 500 yards. You know, it was almost to the point when I got up in the morning and made the bed, the quarter had to bounce off the thing. For those of you in the military, you know what that's about. Yep. Amen? So when we got together, we had two completely different ideas about how the house was going to look. And when the house was a mess and when the house was clean. Amen? You get that? I, early on, had to decide what hill I was going to die on. Was I going to constantly be worried about the socks? Was I going to be constantly worried about an empty can here or there? Or was, if it bothered me, was I going to take the initiative to take care of it myself? So Jesus is teaching something here very, very practical. You have to measure whether it's worth the conversation. And secondly, if it's worth the conversation and that person is worth anything to you, go to them and have the conversation. And what's the second step? Well, if it doesn't work, bring a witness. I know that that's sounding kind of litigious. First of all, if you do the exegesis on this thing, I know that in our scriptures now, they say that Jesus said, tell the church or get some people out of the church. Jesus never said that. They didn't have a church in those days. It was a synagogue. And it was considered a community. So let's not get too hung up on this as if that we're supposed to announce every little problem to the entire congregation. This is a practical way, folks, in which to handle the issue. If the issue is important enough to you and you go talk to that person and they don't seem to understand or can take in what you're saying, then go get somebody that can help you get the communication done. A mediator. Amen? Mediator, somebody that's not really interested, doesn't have sides in the thing. It is what you're supposed to use your pastor for. Instead of talking to everybody in the congregation about how you didn't like what so-and-so did at church on Sunday. Jesus has given us some practical steps. One, everybody matters. Two, since they matter, go talk to them. Three, because they matter and you can't get it resolved, then take somebody with you that can help get it resolved. And then the final thing this morning, which I think is the most important thing that Jesus said, and it ties in with what Jesus said to Peter. It's exactly why Peter asked the question he did, because Jesus said, look, by the way, if you take this step, you take this step, and then you take this step, and it's still not fixed, what did he say? You gotta start all over. What would happen to the divorce rate in this country if people paid attention to just that one small piece? Y'all are married now. So I would suggest to you that you follow this formula, and then you too might get married, stay married for 32 years. I think if more straight people followed this formula, there wouldn't be a 50% divorce rate. Thank you. Well, there you go. 62%. And they say that gay relationships are the problem. Amen? But do you get where I'm coming from? This is a perfect formula. And you don't get to give up, which is probably the hardest piece about this. No, you don't get to walk away. And you know why you don't get to walk away? Because God didn't walk away from you. And you know, Peter sat there after he heard all of that, and he says, okay, Jesus, I get it. I get it. So how many times do I got to forgive him? Seven, right? And Jesus reiterated again, you don't get to walk away, Peter. It's 70 times 7. God is not walking away from you. You don't get to walk away either. I will tell you the same thing that I said to First Christian Church and that my husband has practiced for 32 years. To know me, to love me, is to forgive me every day. Every day. So why is this part of our covenant? Because we don't get to walk away. God hasn't walked away from us. God bless you.